Yesterday we started with the everlasting gospel, okay, that says that God alone is to be worshipped and that he is God and there is none else beside him. Okay. I was trying to think of a title for this, and I guess the only thing I can think of is God through the ages. God through the ages. Tonight we're going to be looking at the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the king. We're in Genesis. Go to the second chapter. We're going to kind of be jumping a little bit. But Genesis, second chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse.
Yes.
Now, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now, yesterday we were talking about in creation, we were talking about before Adam. Here we're talking about after Adam. Okay? After the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, that now brings us into where we are now, okay? So God, once again, he finished his work, okay? Second verse, and on the seventh day, that's supposed to be the sixth, and on the sixth day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested from all his work on the seventh day. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, on the seventh day. All that he had created, now he had recreated the earth, okay? He had caused the waters to recede. He separated the waters from the waters, like I was talking about yesterday, in the fact that he put an air mass in between so that now the clouds are up here, the water is the solid water, or liquid water, ice is down here, okay? From all that he had made. Now, God, when he rests, because his work is done, because he's achieved everything that he has set out to do. Amen. When man rests because he's tired. So that's why God made him a day of rest. Now, let's go to the first chapter and the 14th verse. Genesis 1 and 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. It was so. Elohim said, that's what we're talking about, Jesus. Once again, I'm teaching, so I'm not going to be doing too much preaching, okay? When you look in your Bibles in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and you see that word, God is talking about Jesus. He's talking about Elohim, the creator of all things, the maker of all things. And once again, he said, Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament and the expanse, luminaries, light holes, and of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. Okay? The signs talk about something or someone to come, and for seasons talking about appointed times. Now, go to Jeremiah 10th chapter. Jeremiah 10. Now, this was talking to them back then, but it's also can be applied to us. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
It says, thus saith the Lord. Now, we'll stop right there. When you see that word, the Lord, is talking about Jehovah. Okay? It's talking about Jehovah, God the Father. So that once again we understand who we're dealing with. One thing the senior pastor always told me, you've got to be able to find Jesus in every book of the Bible. If you can't find Jesus in there, you're missing the whole thing. You miss it. So once again, you have, and then also you have that title, you will see Lord God. That's talking about the Father and the Son together. Okay? It's talking about the Father and the Son together. Because when I was coming up, when you said, you know, the Lord and God, all I thought was Jehovah was doing all the speaking. Jesus wasn't even there. Okay? But we learned that when you see, just like you said, when you see the Father, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. Okay? You see both of them. They are there in covenant relationship with one another. And also, just like yesterday, we're talking about everything that Jesus created, God formed a covenant with it. He formed a covenant with it. So they are locked together in everything. Okay? There's no separating. You know, you got religions that try to separate one from the other. You know, I mentioned that it don't make no difference to me. You know, you have got some say God the Father. Then you his witness. The Bible says, Jesus said, you be my witnesses. Right. How can you be a witness of someone you've never spoken to or never seen? No man has seen God the Father at any time. Amen. So how can you be his witness? Then there's the other ones that talk about Jesus only. Well, when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, who was speaking to him? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Yes, and the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, descended like a dove. So in other words, they are inseparable.
Yeah, amen. Right. Amen.
Okay? They are inseparable. Anybody that tries to separate them, they out of whack. They're out of whack. And when somebody out of whack, me, I just walk away from them.
Right.
No, I argue with them. I just walk away from them. Now, Jeremiah 10:2, it said, thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen or the other nations or those that are outside of the kingdom of God, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Okay, now this is talking about the old covenant. Now we've heard, you know, in future prophecies that the moon's going to turn red, blood red, and all of those things. Folks, I forget, I was on a bus one time and the sun was going down and the moon struck and it turned red and the driver stopped the bus because he was dismayed at it. We're not to worry about these signs. Why? Because our God, who has called us, is able to protect us and to keep us. So we don't have to worry about signs in the sky. We don't have to worry about what's going on in the world. When you turn on the television set and you hear all kinds of disasters going on, you know that the Son of God is soon to come back, but you keep your confidence and your faith in God and you keep it moving. Come on and give God some praise. Now, let's go back to now we're going to go to Psalms. Remember, I told you in Genesis that those lights in the heavens, stars, were for to let you know that something or someone was coming, and also for appointed time. Now, when it talks about seasons, it's not necessarily talking about spring and winter and fall. It's talking about times that God has appointed for to dispense his power. Now, when you talk about dispense, everybody has one. When you go into your kitchen and you go to that sink and you turn those spigots on, the water, hot and cold, those are dispensers. And you control how much water goes into that sink or whatever tub you got to wash the dishes or whatever you're going to do. You turn it on and you turn it off. Okay? That spigot is under your control. Well, God's power is over time and space, and he turns on his power when he wants to, and when the age is over, he turns it off. Okay? So now, we're in the 19th chapter of Psalm. We're going to talk about what's going on here. I'm going to reveal to you what he's talking about in these heavens. Now, Psalms 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That word declare means the heavens declare, or it rehearses, and it implies repetition. And once again, that firmament talks about expanse. Let's go on. I'm going to get to you and show you what's going on. Okay? And it showeth his handiwork. The handiwork is talking about is setting forth something. Second verse, day unto day, or day after day, uttereth speech. Okay, in other words, God is saying that these stars are saying something. They're saying something. And night unto night, or night after night, showeth knowledge or intelligence or information. Third verse, it says there's no speech or saying. In other words, the stars are not talking with an audible voice or word. Okay, their voice, their sound is not heard. You can't hear them talking. In other words, they're not talking to you. Because, you know, a lot of folks think, okay, you know, if you don't read it, if you don't read the scriptures right, you think the stars are talking to folks. Okay, and there's folks think that, okay, when we get to the subject that we're talking about. Folks think stars talk, and they're hearing all kinds of stuff, all right? Now, fourth verse, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, their inheritance to all the earth as God has created, these sayings and teachings to the whole world, the inhabited world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Okay, the sun is a tabernacle. These stars are a tabernacle for the sun. Don't slow down, because they are going to display something. Once again, those stars in heaven are talking about something or someone coming. Fifth verse, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. In other words, it's spectacular. It's amazing to be seen, right? And rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about the zodiac. That's what they're talking about. The zodiac. There's 12 of them, okay? 12 is the number of God's government to perfection. You see that in 12 apostles, 12 tribes, okay? You see that. That's his number of blessings. So God has put this in the heavens to be seen. Why? Because man has fallen. Man has fallen. Adam has come in here and he has committed high treason unto God. Okay? So God put in the heavens a message that he was going to send someone. And that someone is Jesus. Because you have to ask yourself, okay, in the Old Testament, how did these guys do it? Because when I look at the Word of God in the New Testament and see how people prophesy and how they do things by and through the Word of God. Amen. So what God did when man fell, now he did this in the beginning of creation, and how he rotated the universe so that at the proper time, these stars would show up and let everybody know that Jesus was going to come and set up his kingdom on the earth. Come on and give God some praise. Now the sun goes through these constellations at God's timing and shows each one of them. Okay, that's what that means about a circuit. It goes through there and God has it to feature each one of those things. Now what are they prophesying or what are they saying? And I didn't put this on the thing. Go to back to Genesis, the third chapter. What is the Lord prophesying? Genesis 3 and 15. If I have, say amen. Amen. He said that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He's talking about Adam. Okay, not talking about Lucifer. I know in the previous chapter he's talking about the serpent going forth on his belly. He already received his punishment right then and there. In other words, he's going to be abased. All right, but for the man who dared to betray God, he said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the woman. between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, God is talking about crushing the mindset of man.
All right now.
Because man has exalted himself. Man has committed high treason unto God. Man has caused death now to flow through all of creation. Where God had a Zoe life, now man has introduced death. Man has introduced hatred. Man has introduced prejudice. Man has introduced disease. Man has introduced all of the aberrations that God never intended. So now the prophecy going forth, this is what the stars are going to show, that the Lord is going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and the seed is going to bruise the head of the enemy. Come on and give God some praise. So once again, this is how God is displaying his handiwork through this. Because what I'm trying to let you know is there's always been a word of God that you can see.
Amen.
And the reason I'm saying that is because the written word didn't start for another 2,500 years when God tells Moses to begin to write down, tell Joshua to write down these events in this tablet that's going to be stored in the ark. So what did they see? How did God inspire them? How did God cause them to prophesy? They looked up and they saw this word that was in the sky that God had put there for that exact purpose. Why? Because guess what? Man got to see. You got to be able to see the word of God. Because if you don't, your man gonna wonder.
Man, yep, that's right.
It's gonna wonder. So
that
in order for them to stay on course, they looked up at this word as God directed, and then God began to talk to them. Come on and give God some more praise.
All right.
Now, let's go to Genesis 11. Let me show you how important this is. Genesis, the 11th chapter. And I'll start with the first verse. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen.
It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. Now, we're in Genesis. Go to the 10th verse. I'm sorry, 10th chapter. And we're going to look at the 8th verse. Come and show you who they are. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
It says, and Cush begat Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And his kingdom, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. So that's who these people are who journeyed to Shinar. Okay, now let me tell you who Nimrod is. Nimrod was an early version of an antichrist. That's what it meant by a mighty hunter. What he did was he hunted people down who served God. Okay, he hunted people down who served God. And his name means, the Hebrew name is Marad, and it means to rebel. And it says, so his name means, we will rebel, or come, let us rebel. So now let's go back to 11, chapter 11. Now we've got these guys, and they're setting up in the land. Now, third verse, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. Okay, burn them in the fire. These guys are not waiting for the sun to dry them. These guys are in a hurry to do something. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. Now, this slime that they had, see, you know, here's the thing. You know, they want to talk about man being primitive and man not knowing anything. Man was very intelligent. Man was very intelligent. Even though it may have been a primitive time, he was very intelligent. Let me tell you something. Folks, you know, we you know, because we're Christians, and you know, we keep ourselves separate from sinners. But look what the sinners have developed. They've developed cars, the telephones, and all of that stuff that we got. Why? Because they're God's children too, and He's not going to leave them unintelligent. The thing about them is they don't want to give any glory unto God for their intelligence, and we do. So never think that they're stupid, because the Bible says that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. That's what the word said, because they find a way to get stuff done. they'll say, well, you know, they'll call the man upstairs. They don't know him personally, but he's their child. God said he is the God of all soul, of all flesh. All flesh. So that includes them. So he causes the sun to shine on the evil and the good, and he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So now these people, now they're making this slime that's called bitumen. It's so tenacious that to detach it, once it gets hard, it's almost impossible to detach it. So they're putting this bitumen into this brick and putting this stuff together and to build this thing. And they said, fourth verse, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. So what they're going to do there, what they're talking about making themselves a name, is they're manifesting independence from God. They don't want to have nothing to do with God. They've seen this message that God has put in the star, and they're going to go up there, and they're going to try to mess with it. Let me tell you something. I know we know we talk about Lucifer, but let me tell you something. The man is more dangerous than 100 Lucifers, because he's got the intelligence of God. Lucifer don't have that intelligence. The man is a creator just like his father God. We're sons of God and daughters of God. You have the ability that what God put in you. Now you have to develop it. But God has given each and every one of us a talent or an ability. So those folks have talent or ability also. But the thing is, they want to make their own name. Fifth verse. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. In other words, this began to attract God's attention. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They're practicing unity. See, that's what this future Antichrist is going to do. He's going to get people together. He's going to be able to get people to come together. He's going to be able to convince folks. That's what this guy Nimrod do. He's convinced all these folks to come together. Let's build this tower. Let's go up there and let's interrupt this thing. And they're all on one accord. To the point where God said, let's go down here and see what these guys are doing. Paraphrasing again. Sixth verse. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, or nothing will be withheld from them, which they have imagined or devised to do. Man's imagination is a dangerous thing. Man will put himself in God's way. The Bible says the devils believe in God and they tremble. In other words, they got enough sense not to get in God's way. They know better. What was that man with the legion? He's talking about, don't cast us out before the time. He was praying. Lord, don't cast us out. Man don't care nothing about God. He don't care nothing about God. When he want his way, that's not, and you look at it now, even to the point now where the church was a safe haven, now they'll come up in the church and kill you. That's what the mind of man does. That's how dangerous he is. Man hates God. Seventh verse. So now this is God. This is God saying, okay, go to. And this is in judgment. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, of all the earth, and they left off to build it. In other words, they left off building it. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. God will protect his word.
Amen.
Come on and give God some more praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we're going to move on here to establish the king. Go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. And God here is encountering Abram. Okay? Abram, or as he was later known as Abraham, was a Chaldean. Okay?
Yep.
Bible says he was Ur of the Chaldees. Pulled him out of that land. All right? And so, now, Abraham was worshiping the moon god. So he was looking up, and God somehow got his attention and began to talk to him through this word. Now, 12:1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. See, here's a group of folks that's trying to make their own name. And unfortunately, it happens in the church.
Amen.
Folks trying to make their own name.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me tell you something. I'd rather be, my plan was, I told you before, when I came into this church, my plan was to be out there where you guys are sitting. It was not my plan to get up here. I said like my father did. My father said, I'm going to be the best member a pastor ever had. That's what my intentions were. Okay, but then as God began to develop me, you begin to put stuff in me, and then you find out you're called, what are you gonna do? You gonna tell God no? Here's the one who loves you and died for you, and now he wants you to serve him, and you're gonna say no? So I just begin to, and it wasn't reluctantly, I'm a type like this. If I'm going to get in something, I'm going to get all the way in it, or I'm not getting in it at all. Not going to play with it. So I thank God for this pastor here, because he began to show me things. He began to show me how to do things. And then God took over the rest. See, that's what the pastor is for, is to get you in a position where you can go to God for yourself. Not to be calling him up at all hours of the night. Every time something go wrong, okay, you have to, let me tell you something. My father, we used to run to him for everything. That was before I came here. He was our pastor. He said, I'm getting tired of this. You two grab each other's hand. Now y'all pray that prayer of agreement. So when y'all get in trouble from now on, y'all learn. So in other words, we started at an early age so that you don't become dependent upon the man.
Right.
When you become dependent upon man, I know I'm kind of going sidetracked here. You put yourself in a position where you can fall.
Right. Yes, you do.
Because when the man falls, if you could attach to him, you will fall too.
Right.
And lose your way. And God wants us to depend on him. Now, once again, now he tells Abram, this is after his father died. Now, he had to wait until that natural flesh line was broken. Because, you know, back in those days, family was everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had to wait until Terah, his father, died. Now he's telling him, once again, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the families. All the families of the earth. Because Abraham's looking up there at this, Now, I know he's not really understanding until God begins to reveal this thing to him. But he's telling them that in you, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, let's go to Genesis 15 chapter. It says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is our reward. Not people, not things, not, you know, not cars, not homes, not fame, not fortune. God is our reward. We have to look at him like that because we tend to get caught up on things. Things don't go right. We tend to get caught up on things. He's telling him, you know, because, you know, here, now let's go to the second verse and I'll explain that why. He says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house, born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Okay, he wasn't even a child of the family. But because he was a servant back in those days, it was Hammurabi's law. Okay? And you had to, if that guy was important, you had to give the inheritance to him. See, these laws and things that were in existence were before the word of the law of God came. Why? Because there was no nation yet. God was letting you know that he was getting ready to establish his nation. He was getting ready to bring forth his regal line through this individual here. God is starting all these things up. So he's telling him, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, look now toward heaven and tell the star if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And not talking about Isaac here. He believed God because he saw that God was going to bring Christ through his line.
All right.
That's what established his righteousness. He believed God before that because, you know, we tend to get selfish on things that we get, that God give us. And sometimes we don't give him no break.
Right.
God didn't hear how many folks, I mean, and I know he knows because even Pastor Hart was here. How many folks God healed and they ain't came back to give them no bread? How many times did God bless somebody financially, they ain't came back to give them no bread? And they think the blessing's going to continue on because they got that one magic touch. You got to stay in the presence of the Lord. When you see here, we see it jump with these chapters, how Abram stayed in God's presence. That's how you get fortified. That's how you get built up. That's how your faith is increased. Why? By staying in the presence of the Lord so that God will become your reward. You know what we need? We need Jesus. Okay, yeah, I want a new car. Okay? I want things, but I need Jesus because guess what? Yeah, I've done it before. I made it without a car. Now, it's no fun, but I made it without a car. But you can't make it without Jesus. Come on and give God some more praise. So he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Go to 17. Genesis 17. Start the first verse. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Once again, this is in Hebrews, not in English. So that word perfect means to be entire. Okay? When God tells us to be holy, he means for us to be whole-minded.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what it means. It don't mean you know better or higher than anyone else. Because we look at Jesus, who was whole. And Jesus talked to everybody.
Amen.
Jesus crossed so many lines, it wasn't even fun. He crossed gender lines. He crossed lines of nationality. Why? Because he knew that what he had, the people needed. Let me tell you something. What you got, the people need also. God has invested himself in you. He's rewarded us with his spirit and his nature and his character. So we have something to give to somebody. Don't never think that you don't have nothing to give nobody.
Amen. That's right.
You have the words of life. Now, we might not be as eloquent, you know, as one another. You may not, you know, be able to put all the fancy words together and all that stuff. But God don't care nothing about that. He says you can get people saved by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
What you mean? There's a whole lot of folks that got saved when folks get up here and go, folks got saved. Why? I mean, come on, God. Sometimes it don't take all that. I'm just being serious. Our folks get saved, healed, you know, despite our inadequacies, in other words. It's not about us. It's about the God that's in us. Come on and give God some more praise. So he said, be thou perfect, or have integrity with me. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceeding. And Abram fell on his face. He fell on his face in reverence. See, we can't never forget that we have to offer up God reverence. You got to give him praise. We got to get him worship. You know, when we get, you know, in tight situation, we get pinched and we feel, you know, bad about things, but we can't forget to give God praise.
Amen.
So he fell on his face. And God hears now Jesus talking to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. Now, Abram's name meant exalted father. Abraham's name means father of a multitude. And what God did was God added the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet to his name to make his name a name of grace. So he showed grace unto Abraham. Why? Because Abraham bowed himself down. Abraham worshiped God. Abraham had a... Now, Abraham, let's be for real. Abraham made mistakes. Okay? We make mistakes. But what you do is you get up, you dust yourself off, and you keep it moving.
Amen.
You don't allow situations and circumstances to catch you up, to stop you. Because that's what the old nature wants to do. He wants to stop you, put you in idle.
Yes.
So that you can't minister. If you can't minister to the people around you, we're not fulfilling our mission, what we're called to do. So now he believed, once again, he believed it for righteousness. Now he said his name is not going to be Abraham. Abraham. He said, now, sixth verse, now I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Here's God establishing his kingdom. Because when you look at the royal line now, he's going to send a king. Because the first man, Adam, he didn't lay aside his authority. Okay? He didn't lay it aside. So God said, I'm going to send my king down here through this line. I'm going to send one. He established David first. David, a man after God's own choice. In other words, when they wanted a king, what did they do? They chose their own. Man chose because why? He was taller and handsomer than everybody else. Okay? God chose somebody who's out there working in the field, taking care of sheep. Right. Who was working hard. That was God's choice. Not that day, because you look, we all know that David messed up. We talk about Bathsheba, but I look at the one where David messed up with numbering the people. It caused 70,000 folks to die. Not just Uriah the Hittite. He caused 70,000 people to die. Okay, so that was a big mistake. But yet God protected him. God loved him. And because when David found out he messed up, he didn't do like Saul. Saul tried to play it off. Don't walk with the prophet. So that we together, you know. Not knowing that God looks at the intent. See, you can't fool God. You can fool us. You know, we here serving, but you can fool us. You can't fool God.
That's right. Amen.
And sooner or later, he will visit you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked whatsoever a man. So notice what he says. A man. Man, so okay. That means Lucifer gave something up.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. Make it plain.
Lucifer gave Saul not whatsoever a man or a woman or even children. So go get it back. Okay, so you have to be careful. Be careful. Once again, seventh verse, and I will establish my covenant with thee between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And you see it right now when you look across the ocean and you see the nation of Israel, because they are the everlasting nation that he's talking about with that covenant. Israel exists. So that lets you know that God, if you didn't know that God exists, you can look over there and see the Israelites.
Right, amen.
Amen.
They are the everlasting nation. God, no matter what they have gone through, God has preserved them.
Amen.
So we don't have to worry about them as far as God preserving them by fighting. We need to pray for them to get saved.
Right, man.
That's what you have to pray for Israel for. You have to pray for them to get saved because they have rejected Messiah.
Amen.
They rejected him. They think he's coming on his first time. No, he's going to come back for his second term. Come on and give God some praise. We're almost done. Go to Galatians. Finish up with this. Galatians 3rd chapter. Galatians 3 and 16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He says, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So that's the seed that he was talking about to Abraham. He wasn't talking about Isaac. He was talking about Christ. Come on. That's what those stars up in heaven were all about. That's what they were all about. Now man has come along and they have twisted them around. And you know, because here's the key. When God talks about it, God's talking about something that's going to himself, because he's the blesser of all mankind. When man gets to talking, he gonna talk about himself, and he can't help nobody. You got all that foolishness in the back of the newspaper talking about on this day you're gonna be blessed and all of this stuff. But you're going, and my father, he used to read, and I'm getting close after this. He said he used to read the horoscope, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. He said, well, what if I decide to bless you on a day that this thing said you're going to have a bad day? So we are to depend on God. As God moved to preserve his word in the heaven, if you make yourself a part of his word now, he will preserve you.
Amen.
Everybody stand.
Amen.
I want to give God some praise. We have seen God move according to his promise. Jesus has already came and he's on his way back. So we've seen the promises of the Father. He gave us the promise of the Holy Ghost. We have it. So in other words, God has proven himself faithful down through the ages. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
Take your neighbor by the hand tonight. I'm going to ask senior pastor to pray.
Heavenly Father, in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, we know that we are the 42nd generation, because down through the ages, you have kept a man's seed, Lord God. A seed that will produce life, Lord God. And that life was Jesus. And out of Jesus, we came, Father, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, Father, I pray that through your word, you teach us and give us greater understanding of who we are and what the work is that we are to complete and that we are to do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch your people today. Lord God, minister to our minds, not as individuals, but as a whole, as a body of believers, Lord God. Regardless of what the name on our building is, regardless of what we call ourselves individually, Father, move by your spirit, Lord God, for you shall move upon all flesh, Lord God, regardless of who we are, who we think we are. So, Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, as the man of God has taught this word, that we might know, Lord God, what the kingdom of God is. We might stand, therefore, in it, Lord God, with power, with strength, and most importantly, through the love and the very power of God. So, Father, I thank you today for ministering to your people, even in this service. Lord God, let the power of the living God minister to us from the crown of our head to the very soles of our feet, Lord God, bringing forth healing, deliverance, Lord God, financial blessing, whatever we have need of. You said, ask in your name, believe it, and it shall come to pass. That's the seed that you have sown within us. So, Father, we believe and we have faith and confidence in your word. Have your way in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. It's offering time. Come on and give God some more praise.